Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Bueller, Bueller, Bueller. Is anybody in the KBUL, Bueller, KBUler? It'll be the Bueller radio here. Is anybody listening to KBUL Billings right now or listening to us on the app? If you're out, the streets are pretty bare. The streets are very bare this morning, given all the snow that's been falling and the single digits above or the single digits below temperatures right now. But if you're out bearing the roads this morning in Billings, Montana, if you drive past the Metra in Billings, would you take some photographs of the protesters out there? If they're there this morning. Or, if you're in Laurel, would you take some photographs of the climate kids out there protesting global warming in front of the natural gas power plant in Laurel? Man, can I get an amen if you're glad to have some electricity this morning? Can I get an amen if you're glad to have some natural gas this morning? My goodness, here we go. It is February in Montana. The deep freeze is setting in for several days. 40 below with the wind chills they're expecting in parts of north central Montana over the next 48 hours as well. But all right, let's get into the good news of the day here. You know, I asked if there were any protesters out in front of the Metro right now because Saturday it was beautiful. It was sunny. It was almost 50 degrees. And there they were. The friends of the drug cartels, that's what I'm calling these left-wing activists, who staged a small protest while they chanted, "No justice, no peace." There they go, threatening violence as they back the criminal illegal aliens that are wreaking so much havoc all over Montana. But anyway, I did a story about that on our Montana Talks website about how these pro-illegal alien activists, you know, the same left-wing activists that show up for every other left-wing protest. Wear the ribbon. What ribbon are we wearing today? Grab the illegal alien ribbon. No, we'll go back to the transgender ribbon tomorrow. Today, put on your illegal alien ribbon. And then Wednesday is the defund the police ribbon. You know, you gotta wear the ribbon. You gotta wear the ribbon. But anyway, I did a story for our Montana Talks website, and I just happened to see some very good news for Northwest Montana. Representative Lucas Schubert, you know, that young man just elected to the legislature out of Kalispell, Montana, he shared the good news. I hadn't seen this anywhere else yet. It comes from MontanaRightNow.com. That is the TV stations. They go by the moniker Nonstop Local. So they've got various TV stations across the state. Well, on January 27th, U.S. Border Patrol Spokane Sector reports that agents from the Whitefish Station apprehended five individuals in Hungry Horse. The arrests followed a report from a local citizen. Good job, local citizen. We need more citizen watchdogs just like that. Anyway, according to this report, citizen reports have now led to multiple Border Patrol arrests in Hungry Horse, Columbia Falls, and Thompson Falls. Let's keep the hits coming, folks. And great job by you upstanding local citizens. 406-294-0970. Phone lines are open for you.
I'm Chad Pergrim with the Speaker's Lobby. The oldest member of the Senate is 91-year-old Iowa Republican Chuck Grassley. He's now the Senate President pro tem, the most senior member of the majority party, fourth in line to the presidency, and chairman of the Judiciary Committee. That means that President Trump is banking on Grassley to tackle immigration and border security, weeding out the so-called deep state, confirming his nominees for the federal bench, and maybe ushering a Supreme Court justice to confirmation should a vacancy occur. That's why some Senate Republicans privately question whether Grassley is the right person for the job, too old to execute the president's agenda. The conversation about age and politics is an old one, but it's amplified after questions about the mental acuity of President Biden. For instance, former Appropriations Committee Chairwoman Kay Granger now lives in an assisted living facility. There were health problems for former Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. Grassley won an eighth Senate term in 2022, but he also had hip surgery in 2023, and he was hospitalized for an infection in 2024. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Is this tree good for climbing? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nFamily Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, you got to just see some of the comments from the friends of the drug cartels. The small handful of staged, phony, coordinated left-wing protesters. The flavor of the week is now they're protesting in support of the criminal illegal aliens on not just American soil, but on Montana soil. They're protesting on behalf of the criminal illegal aliens, whether wittingly or unwittingly. They are the friends of the drug cartels, the very drug cartels who are targeting Native American women, who are getting generations of kids addicted to meth and fentanyl, some dying from overdoses. And yet, as predicted, I published an alert on Saturday morning because I had gotten word from a friend of mine out on the Crow Reservation, said, hey, check this out. They're trying to get a little protest going in Billings. And they had, you know, a few woke white liberals and then some other folks there, too. And he said, hey, they're going to do this protest in front of the Metra. And I was like, so I published this alert, you know, saying that the friends of the drug cartels were going to be out there protesting. And man, the comments were just kind of very interesting, actually. One of them, and you see her name in the news a lot because they're always publicizing what, you know, today she's at this protest, tomorrow she's at the transgender rally, the next week she's at, you know, whatever, you know, pick your left wing cause or your, you know, buzzword of the day. And so she starts commenting on, oh, you don't get to speak on behalf of Native Americans. And I responded, I said, I'm quoting tribal leaders. Tribal leaders in Montana are the ones who are saying that the drug cartels are targeting Native American women and that they are destroying entire generations of families. I said, so I'm not pretending to speak on behalf of anybody. I'm telling you what tribal leaders have been saying and what federal law enforcement, like the former head of the DEA here in Montana, Stacy Zinn, who's Mexican, by the way, is saying. But the reality is these people don't care. They don't care. They are radical left-wing activists. And the one word that drives them is what drives them on everything. That term is intersectionality. They want to divide you. They want to divide us. They want to divide this country on every ethnic and racial line you can think of. That's why they want to create 600 different genders when there's really two. They want to divide us on socioeconomic status because they despise this country and they want to transform this country into something else. And so intersectionality drives everything, dividing Americans along any single line you can possibly imagine. But I think Montanans are united. I mean, we've seen even Hispanic Americans support deporting these criminal illegal aliens. As we talked about last week with Stacy Zinn, the Hispanic people that came to this country and who came here legally, by the way, they came here to flee the very type of criminality that has now followed them into America because of the wide open borders. So even Hispanics support what's going on right now. But yet these people claim that they're the ones who care for Mexican Americans. Oh, give me a break. Get out of here. It's so phony. But yet, as predicted, when I published that alert on Saturday morning about how the friends of the drug cartels would be out there protesting, I added this. I said, and watch as they get propped up by the liberal media. And there was at least one of the TV stations that did a completely one-sided, biased report. No questions even asked of these left-wing activists. All right, let's see. We got our legislative update right around the corner here. I think Jesse Ramos with Americans for Prosperity Montana is going to join us this week. First, let's sneak on a phone call. We've got Clint in Bozeman wanting to talk about the weather. What's going on, Clint? Good to hear from you.
Well, glad to hear what you're talking about this morning, Aaron. It's very informative. What I wanted to talk about is David Noble now. He went to school in Manhattan. You're one of your co-hosts there?
Yeah, the Manhattan kid, we should call him, yeah.
Well, I went to school there, too, in the early 40s, all right?
Just a few years ahead of him.
Yeah, well, what I wanted to talk about is this weather. In 1948 and 49, here at Bozeman, Manhattan, and into Wyoming, the snow got so deep that the farmers and ranchers couldn't feed their cattle, and they had a lot of it dropped by C-47 aircraft to the cows. And down at Manhattan, and on old highway number 10, this is before the interstates ever came in, we had snow drifts down there, 10 and 12 foot deep, across number 10 highway. And up at Amsterdam, where I lived, okay, we had one where we us kids caught the bus. It was 12 foot deep, too. And we were out of school. I'm telling a story about the weather here now.
Yeah.
We were out of school for 2 weeks. And when we got to go to school, us kids couldn't believe the amount of drifts and snow that them DAs, they had DAs out on number 10 and they had DAs up on the Amsterdam Road, highway. Well, it was a highway and part dirt, part highway. And it was terrible. And we had a hell of a time milking our cows because we couldn't get them to the barn because the snow was so deep.
Well, hold that thought here, Clint. Yeah, because, we've even seen in recent years where, especially eastern Montana, South Dakota had a horrific snowstorm that killed a lot of cattle as well. Got to hit the hard break. We do have the legislative update right after this. But Clint, stand by because I want to check in with you. So stand by.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
What will tariffs do to the economy? You'll find people who answer that question with a shrug and others who will answer with a number. Perhaps the real answer is somewhere in between. But in the daily barrage of tariff details bandied about, one thing is certain, and that is the amount of uncertainty has increased markedly. In the boxing ring or playing a poker game, creating uncertainty might be a winning strategy. But for economic management, creating an environment for forward-looking investment, it's toxic. Even if tariffs never ultimately happen, and the odds of that are very low, the saber-rattling rhetoric has already done damage. Countries and companies everywhere are preparing for a trade war. They're directing resources into stockpiling imports and reviewing how they source their products throughout their supply chains. Countries are busy studying the best ways to retaliate. Those actions may be prudent, but collectively they're a deadweight loss. And these losses are occurring even if the sabers are never actually drawn. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. February is American Heart Month. Heart disease is the leading cause of death in the U.S. But the National Institutes of Health says it can often be prevented with a heart-healthy lifestyle, which can lead to reducing the risk and risk factors. First, be sure to get enough sleep. Adults should be aiming for 7 to 9 hours per night. Being consistent and going to bed and waking up at the same time each day can help. Also, trying not to exercise 2 to 3 hours before bedtime and avoiding caffeine and nicotine. They also recommend eating better, following a flexible and balanced eating plan, which can help lower high blood pressure and improve cholesterol. Trying to maintain a healthy weight. Choosing healthy snacks like fruits and veggies or nuts can help. Also, stay hydrated with water as your primary beverage. And one more tip for decreasing the chance of heart disease and stroke, stop smoking. Any amount can damage your heart and blood vessels. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Lynn.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, what a great news story here. And thanks to Representative Lucas Schubert for sharing this. Citizen reports lead to multiple Border Patrol arrests in Hungry Horse, Columbia Falls, and Thompson Falls. There's some interesting details here in this report by Joey Taylor. If I don't get to that here in the 8 o'clock hour, that would be a great one to save for the 9 o'clock hour as well, when the rest of the state joins us here. You're kind of listening to this extra hour of Montana Talks, although it's pretty massive across the state right now. Billings, Bozeman, Butte, Livingston, Great Falls, Kalispell, and then elsewhere on the Montana Talks app, and people listening on the KJJR app as well. And then, of course, our friends from Plentywood and Malta and elsewhere joining us as well coming up. Real quick. So, yeah, it was great catching up with Clint in Bozeman there during the break. Yeah, he's 90 years old now, he was telling me. 90 years old. So he's seen a lot and he knows a lot. But, yeah, what he was really working to communicate there, too, in that great story, talking about all the snow that he saw as a kid back in the 40s. As a school kid in Manhattan, is folks in Montana, you just got to be prepared for anything. You've got to have extra food on standby. You've got to have extra water on standby. You got to think about backup power sources. And then, of course, if you're driving around in your vehicle, make sure you've got at least something within arm's reach to throw around you to keep you warm if you get into an accident, or you've got gloves and a hat if you got to be out there, changing a tire or helping somebody get out of the ditch or whatever. So, Clint, thanks for that phone call. Thanks for that reminder. Great hearing some of your stories as well. All right. Oh, looks like we got Henry Kriegel, our friend Henry Kriegel, the Deputy State Director with Americans for Prosperity Montana, back with us here for our weekly legislative update. Henry, great to hear from you. How did the school choice rally on the Capitol steps on Friday? It was a great turnout.
Oh, it was a great rally on Friday, led by Montana Family Foundation and Jeff Lasloff. We were happy to participate in it. We brought up around 30-plus activists from around the state. The folks from Kalispell stood down due to a severe winter storm warning, so we didn't want to get in one thing to get stuck. But great turnout. We had the leadership of both the House and the Senate, and it was immediately followed up by a committee hearing in House Education on what we call the MAPS bill, Montana's Academic Prosperity Program for Scholars, which would allow for parents to use out-of-pocket funds for innovative and alternative education and get a dollar-for-dollar tax credit, and would also allow for individuals and businesses to contribute to a scholarship awarding organization so others can afford to get to the school that best meets the needs of the child. Great turnout, high-powered testimony before the committee. It went on for several hours, that committee hearing as well. And good stuff, Aaron. A good time at the Capitol, a big morale boost for our volunteers and activists who came up to join us and testify in committee, tour around one of the most beautiful buildings in the state of Montana, and generally have a great time getting involved in the institution of government, trying to transform it so that it serves the people and isn't a barrier to individual success and achievement.
Well, it's so great, too, that you guys are helping to build that activist base because, the left, they got community organizers all day long, and oftentimes their people, their activists have all the time in the world to show up and be in Helena, whereas our people are all over the state. They're working, they're homeschooling, or you name it, right? Everybody's busy. But if you can just show up and show a surge at various times throughout the session. It just reminds our friends that you're out there and why they were sent to Helena in the first place, because I know the daily grind can get to them when they get battered by a lot of these special interest groups day in and day out. What's the big focus this week after school choice week last week?
Well, we got to still work on that bill. We got to make sure we get it out of committee. Obviously, we're going up against the education bureaucracy who sees any funding. This is private funding, by the way, not even government funding. Any funding going towards alternative, innovative education as a threat to the status quo. And we need the threat in the status quo. Why? Because it doesn't work for all the students. That's why. And we see people, we see kids falling through the cracks. And what happens to those kids when they fall through the cracks, Aaron, is that some of them get into behaviors that are not conducive to life. They get into, they have substance abuse, there's plenty of studies on this, by the way. If kids who drop out of school, get into substance abuse, they have mental health problems, they violate the law, they wind up on public assistance. So we're paying a lot more money on the back end. You know, we're trying to be proactive and make education more engaging so that less of these kids fall through the cracks and that they get the education that they need to fulfill their potential. So this battle still goes on. But this week, I just got off providing testimony prior to this interview on HB 295. That's a bill that would allow judicial candidates to declare their party affiliation or not declare their party affiliation. It is a First Amendment right, a free association for judges. It provides more information for voters to base a decision. And it is a good bill, which needs to be done. It is a low, it should be an easy pass. This very same bill introduced by this very same legislator, Representative Paul Fielder, only failed by two votes during the 2023 legislative session, largely due to a lack of attention, a lack of public support and awareness of the bill. But we all know there are plenty of activist judges out there who legislate from the bench and who aren't textualists, who don't look at the law based upon its meaning at the time it was actually crafted, but they will reinterpret it to their own desires, to their own political perspectives. And many times these excellent bills that come out of the legislature get overturned by a single judge who is elected because people don't know enough information about who they are, because party affiliation at least gives you an idea of their ideological framework.
Yeah. So give us the bill number again on that judicial reform bill and the school choice bill again as well, because I want to write those down, because I know oftentimes our listeners will say, hey, what's the bill number? Because then they can contact their legislators today through an email, through a message on the legislative website, through a phone call or in person and say, hey, back these two bills.
Absolutely. The judicial reform bill is HB 295. HB 295, to allow judges to declare their party affiliation, judicial candidates. The education bill, the MAPS bill, is HB 320, Montana's academic program for scholars, Montana's academic prosperity program for scholars, HB 320. So those are the two bills.
Great.
The education bill is in House Education. The judicial bill is in House Judiciary. We should be able to get it out of those committees. It's going to need a little bit of help. And definitely when it's on the House floor, that judicial reform bill will need some oomph from everyone listening here on the show this morning.
You know, every Thursday on the show, I'll have, you know, the Senate president from the Republican side. I'll have the House minority whip from the Democrat side. And then earlier in the morning, I'll try to catch up with Speaker of the House Brandon Lear out of Savage as well. But what would be a good question to ask any of those three this week, or some of the other topics that are coming up before the legislature?
One is why not allow judges to declare their party affiliation and affirm their First Amendment rights of free association? What's the big concern?
Yeah, good point. Yeah, why not allow them to
the House Minority Leader.
Yeah, and frankly, that's one of the biggest complaints we hear all the time is that whenever the elections roll around, everybody always complains. They say, we know nothing about these judge candidates. We know next to nothing about these Supreme Court candidates. Give us some information so we have an idea who these people are and what they actually stand for.
Yes, so I got a question from Representative Virginia Joy as I left the hearing to get on to this interview. And she said, what's it in the bill that would prevent a judicial candidate from adopting or promoting a political platform of a party? I go, nothing, because we're not going to infringe upon someone's free speech.
They could do that right now.
First Amendment right.
Under the current law.
If a judicial candidate wants to... Yeah, they can do it right now. If a judicial candidate wants to espouse a political platform running for office, which the left sometimes does, in other states for sure, that would be a dumb strategy, because we don't want a partisan politics on the bench. It would also backfire in an election. The people don't want political platforms and biases within judges. They want them to be unbiased.
Yeah. But simply allowing them to have a political party designation would allow people at least to get a window of insight into what their judicial philosophy and philosophical leanings are. Henry Kriegel, the Deputy State Director for Americans for Prosperity Montana. We got less than 1 minute to go before the break. Anything else you want to tell folks across Montana?
Well, I just want to say this happens once every 2 years. It's a legislative session, and we are focused among all the other things that we're working on, federal priorities and building up our teams around the state. We have offices everywhere around the state. Is that this is a great opportunity for people to get involved. It's so much fun being up at the Capitol, and it's just such a great experience. So get involved. Get a hold of us. infomt@afphq.org. Send us an email. Look us up on the web. And contact us, get involved, have some fun doing
great
it.
Great crew all you across the state.
My old buddy.
Yeah, I got to meet all your...
You've been doing it.
Yeah, I got to meet all your people across the state, Josh Carl and the Flathead and everybody. What a great crew. All right, Henry Kriegel, appreciate your time. We got to hit the hard break here. Tom Homan on the border reductions next.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Maybe in the 9 o'clock hour, I should do a little bit more of a back and forth, a little bit more of a play-by-play of my conversations with one of the protesters backing the illegal aliens. Because, what was the one that I was just thinking of here? It's just, again, these people, they claim to be concerned about missing and murdered indigenous women. But yet when tribal leaders say the Mexican drug cartels are targeting Native American women, nothing to see here. All of a sudden, these left-wing protesters, no, we're not going to listen to tribal leaders. And don't you dare, white man, tell us what tribal leaders are saying. But what was one of the responses she gave? One of the responses she gave, I'm assuming it's a woman. I mean, you never know these days with the left-wing activists, it's especially if they don't have their pronouns in their federal government email address anymore. Did you hear about that one, President Trump? This is so great. He ordered all these federal government employees to stop putting their pronouns in their email addresses. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Just answer the phone, Bill. And when we have a question or a problem with the federal government, be a little responsive. Nobody cares what your pronouns are. But anyway, so we were having this back and forth. And I said, look, it's tribal leaders who are the ones who are saying that the Mexican drug cartels are targeting Native American women. And we know that the Mexican drug cartels were the key leaders that targeted Crow tribal members with their fentanyl and their meth drug dealing. The Spear Siding case was the latest clear-cut example of that. And you know what her response was? Her response was, well, Dad, that's just part of the problem with missing and murdered indigenous women. All races play a role in missing and murdered indigenous women. Oh, okay, so let's just not worry about this major problem over here because, well, there's other races involved in the problem, too. Like, give me a break. It just shows that these are unserious people with unserious talking points. And the thing that also stood out to me most was she was, you know, obviously attempting to be sarcastic, but I think there was something very telling in her response. And if you go to MontanaTalks.com, you'll see the Facebook post where a lot of these conversations took place. The other thing that was very telling in her response was she says, "Thanks for making me and my friends famous." Well, first off, if you've noticed, I haven't used any of their names. Now, second off, if any of them want to be on the radio, they're welcome to join us on the show. They could call in right now, just like any of you can call in. Anytime, any place. Well, unless we have a guest already booked on the show, right? But, see, they love the attention. And so I responded. I said, fame. I said, really, that's what this really seems about. A lot of these left-wing activists, they are so desperate for attention. And that's partly what is fueling this rise in gender dysphoria as well. It's a way to get attention. Yeah, you're just a boring little white kid. Nobody cares about you, but all of a sudden you start talking about chopping your body parts off and dressing up like the other gender, and boom, all of a sudden you get all this attention. And you're celebrated in the culture, at least it seemed that way, didn't it? And so they're like, oh, thanks for making us famous. It's like, well, that's why these people are out there. That's why they're out there. They want to be on TV. They want to get their name in the newspaper. So last week, they're at the MMIW rally. This week, they're rallying for the illegal aliens that are in part responsible for the MMIW. We've seen this with the left since I was a kid. They claim to care about starving people in Africa, but then, oh, the environmentalist side kicks in, and oh no, we can't kill mosquitoes because of the environment. Well, yeah, but it's the mosquitoes that are killing people in Africa. I thought you cared about people in Africa. No, one thing at a time. One thing. Don't ever question these left-wing activists. Just wear the ribbon. Wear all the ribbons to show that you care. Don't ever actually do anything that does anything. Just pretend to care. Wear the ribbon. What an excellent, throwback to Rush Limbaugh. Somebody shared that on X the other day, where Rush Limbaugh, when he had his TV show, did his incredible monologue focused on, you know, I wear all these ribbons because I care more than you do. Such a classic. But all right, let's get into it here. So Tom Homan, President Trump's border czar, look at, here we are, 2 weeks now since President Trump was sworn in as the 47th president of the United States, and look at what the numbers are already proving.
Can you assess your work so far?
Well, look, I looked at the numbers this morning, Maria. The crossings on the border are down 93%. 93%.
Wow.
That's a bigger decrease than under the first Trump administration. So, look, I said it. President Trump is a game changer. No one has had the success he's had on securing the border. He clearly understands we can't have strong national security if we don't have border security. We need to know who's coming in, what's coming in, where it's coming in, why it's coming in. And we have achieved a success on the border already. We got more work to do. And on top of that, as far as deportation operation, we're just shy of, I think we got 5,000 already arrested the first week, and majority of them being criminals. The non-criminals, and the media's talking about, oh, who are these non-criminals? The non-criminals are arrested in sanctuary cities because you force us into the community rather than arresting the bad guy in the jail. And when we find that criminal, he's most likely with others, and they're going to go too. So if you want to be a sanctuary city, you're going to get exactly what you don't want. More agents in the community and more non-criminals arrested.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Good job by Tom Homan. Now, obviously, the reason there's been such a, you pick up on the sarcasm already, right? Obviously, the reason why there's been such a dramatic decline in illegal border crossings, 93% drop in illegal border crossings, and then now you've only got to deal with that 7%, so it's more likely to actually, you know, find these guys and stop these guys and detain these guys. Obviously, the reason we've seen such a dramatic decline in illegal border crossings is because Congress finally passed a comprehensive immigration bill. Oh, wait, they didn't. because it was never about having a comprehensive immigration bill. Remember when the media would parrot the Democrats' talking points last year during the 2024 elections here in Montana? Remember when the former Democrat senator from Montana would go on and on and on, well, the reason we don't have border security is because we haven't passed a comprehensive immigration bill. What did they mean by a comprehensive immigration bill? They meant keeping the carrots in place, keeping the incentive in place that encourages illegal aliens to storm this country every day anyway. What they meant by a comprehensive immigration bill was they wanted a pathway to citizenship, because they wanted these illegal aliens to be declared legal so they could hopefully get more voters and have permanent control over this country. And we said at the time, comprehensive immigration bill, you don't need a bill. You need a commander in chief that actually cares about defending this country and securing our borders, and a Homeland Security Secretary that cares about defending this country and securing our borders. And golly, Gomer, here we are, 2 weeks of President Donald J. Trump, and we've already got a 93% drop in illegal border crossings without a so-called comprehensive border bill that the Democrats were always tweeting about. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, she was on Fox over the weekend as well, talking about how Joe Biden deliberately weakened us from within.
We're here with a freshly minted cabinet secretary of Department of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem. Welcome, Madam Secretary. You know, you've been very busy. You hit the ground running.
And that's Mark Levin.
Now, you're from South Dakota, and you're going to all these cities, which must seem a little strange. And you're going to all these cities. You're finding all these murderers and rapists and pedophiles. I guess my question to you is this. Does it cross your mind, do you say to yourself, good Lord, why didn't Biden do this? Or Mayorkas? I mean, we know where these people are. We're going to get them. They obviously knew where they were. Why did they leave them there?
Yeah, that's what's surprising, because as we go into these big cities and we're in these communities, such as the other day we were in the Bronx, pulling out guys that had weapons charges, drug charges, assault. They were charged with rape and murder. The community knew where they were. The law enforcement knew where they were. They just didn't go extract them and protect the individuals that are raising their families there. So, and Mark, what was overwhelming was the fact that as we were on the streets and we were arresting these individuals and taking them into incarceration, the community members were walking by and saying thank you. They were saying thank you for doing this, for being here, for making our streets safer. America overwhelmingly wants these bad guys and dirtbags off our streets and out of this country. And the fact that Joe Biden didn't do that for so many years proves that he just did not put America first. He did not love this country, and he was weakening us from within.
And not just Joe Biden, the Democrats, in particular, the Montana Democrats, never forget what they did. And frankly, look at Helena right now and what they're continuing to try to do with this radical transgender stuff. I mean, good night. All right, phone lines are open, 406-294-0970. Back right after this.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
A report going back from the Washington Times. A 2013 FAA document raised the issue in stark terms. How much of a change in job performance is acceptable to achieve diversity goals? You work as an air traffic controller. First of all, it's a hard job. I know people that do it. I know people that have done it. You better have the ability to multitask at a very, very high level. You better have fast decision-making qualities. That is not something the average person, this is not a job for the average person. This is a job for somebody with a very, very specific set of skills that can manage and multitask many things at once and have a lot of balls in the air, because there's a lot of planes in the sky.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, you exhausted every day, maybe you have the 3 p.m. crash, or struggling with memory issues, having a hard time focusing. You have to stop and pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. I never run out of energy. and I'm fully focused. Strong Cell. It's a revolutionary supplement that has truly changed my life. I use it every single day. It gives you natural energy, helps me stay focused all day long, and just makes me feel better overall. Whether you're a working mom or dad, or homeschooling your kids, or some of our loyal men and women behind the wheel across the country, try Strong Cell. It'll change your life. Linda uses it as well.
I use it every single day. I have my kids using it, my parents using it, my in-laws using it, my friends using it, and I am telling you, it is immediate. It is one of the only ways you can get NADH on the market, and it works.
Go to HannityStrong.com. Use promo code Hannity. You get a special 20% off any order. Once again, HannityStrong.com. And Strong Cell believes in their product so much, you get a 60-day no-risk policy. Invest in your health. I did it. It changed my life.
It's February 3rd, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Day the Music Died. The day remembers the deaths of rock and roll singers Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and J.P. Richardson, perhaps better known as the Big Bopper. The three perished when their plane went down near Clear Lake, Iowa in 1959. Also on this date, in 1941, the U.S. Supreme Court upholds the federal wage and hour law, which set minimum wage and maximum work standards. The U.K. issued a set of stamps in 1998 commemorating Princess Diana, who died in a car crash in August of 1997. Born on this day in 1480, Spanish explorer Ferdinand Magellan, the first man to sail around the world. Hall of Fame quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings, Fran Tarkenton, born in 1940. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we, you know, I could talk about this, but I'd like to hear your thoughts on it. 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. I almost thought about bringing this one up earlier, but thankfully, in the meantime, I got a great email from the Disney family in Libby, Montana. So one of the newsletters that I subscribe to comes from Substack. It's AND Magazine. AND Magazine, expert analysis and commentary. This is a newsletter put together by Sam Faddis. Sam Faddis has been a guest on our show a number of times, and so that's why I signed up for this newsletter. First heard about him in a column that I think he wrote or he was interviewed in for The Federalist. And so I was like, man, I got to see if this guy will join us on the radio. So do you guys remember last week we had a caller call into the show and say, why is the superintendent of schools in School District 2 in Billings, why is he putting out information informing teachers on how they can and cannot respond if Immigration and Customs Enforcement, if ICE comes into the schools? Because, you know, you got MS-13 gang members that are teenagers that could be in schools terrorizing kids, right? And we've had a youth gang problem here as well, right? And the person who sent us, I think it was a message on the Montana Talks app. They said, hey, is he trying to stand in the way? And I said, well, I don't think so. I think he's just putting out good information. And partly why I think he was just putting that information out is because there are radical left-wing teachers unions right now that are encouraging teachers to do just that. Resist. Fight back. In fact, so the latest newsletter from Sam Faddis is about that very topic. The revolution fights back. Teachers organizations vow to resist deportations. The National Education Association and the American Federation of Teachers are two of the organizations who are vowing to resist the deportation of these criminal illegal aliens. The Disneys say this via email. From one side of their mouths, teachers complain about all the extra work they must do because of overcrowded classrooms. Then from the other side, they vow to fight deportations. Huh? No wonder ever more of us have an even lower opinion of public schools and teachers. Maybe they should rise up, I'll add, resist, and dump their teachers' unions. is what the Disney family added on to that. Thanks so much for that email. That was great. All right, let's see. I'm very short on time right now. Otherwise, I see we just got a call that just came in. I'll tell you what, call back in the 9 o'clock hour. We will get you first up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show, because I don't want to have to cut you off mid-stride. And we've got one more important thing that I want to share with you here. Okay, let's see. What temperature is it, is my phone telling me here? 3 below is the temperature right now. 3 below in where our Montana Talks studios are located right now. If you're sitting at home and you're listening on the app, I want you to go up to your windows. Can you feel the cold air coming through those windows? If not, okay, cool, whatever. Well, maybe you want to, you know, upgrade your bathroom. Well, but if you are feeling that cold air, I'll tell you what, you've got to hear about this unbeatable deal from YHIC, your home improvement company. When it comes to windows, they've got an unbeatable deal. 50% off your window purchase, just a minimum of 4 windows. It's a deal you don't want to miss. Plus, they've got easy financing. No money down, no interest, and no payments until 2026. Seriously, upgrading your windows has never been easier. Keep the cold out now, and it'll keep the heat out later this summer as well. Again, easy financing, no money down, no interest, no payments until 2026. Call 406-948-2836 to schedule your free in-home consultation, whether it's windows, bathrooms, or both. This is a limited-time offer you don't want to miss. Again, 50% off your window purchase, minimum of 4 windows. Go to YHIC.com, your home improvement company.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
What will tariffs do to the economy? You'll find people who answer that question with a shrug and others who will answer with a number. Perhaps the real answer is somewhere in between. But in the daily barrage of tariff details bandied about, one thing is certain, and that is the amount of uncertainty has increased markedly. In the boxing ring or playing a poker game, creating uncertainty might be a winning strategy. But for economic management, creating an environment for forward-looking investment, it's toxic. Even if tariffs never ultimately happen, and the odds of that are very low, the saber-rattling rhetoric has already done damage. Countries and companies everywhere are preparing for a trade war. They're directing resources into stockpiling imports and reviewing how they source their products throughout their supply chains. Countries are busy studying the best ways to retaliate. Those actions may be prudent, but collectively they're a deadweight loss. And these losses are occurring even if the sabers are never actually drawn. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.